Hello, Solo Mom. Today I want to talk about the redefining the Solo Mom narrative, because the narrative when I first started to research the idea of Solo Mom's Talk podcast, I looked up the term single mom online, and what I saw was devastating. It was horrible. It was just sick. And it almost made me stumble in such a profound way that I didn't want to start a podcast because I didn't like the image of a single mom that was out there. But I'm glad I persevered because this was my mission to redefine the narrative, to destroy the outdated stereotypes, because we know that this story that is out there, that society loves to tell about the single mother, it's, you know, portraying a monolith of dependency, struggle, and a lack of ambition. It is a false narrative, and that assumes failure and a lack of agency, rather than recognizing our resilience, right? But as women who are actually living the reality of single motherhood, we know that this popular opinion is just a myth, right? The truth is found in the term solo mom. We are not just single. We are independent, strong, and actively steering the ship. Many of us under God's guidance. We are women who have navigated divorce, bravely fled unsafe environments, and endured the tragic loss of our spouse, or made the empowered choice to build a family on our own, whether through adoption or donation or fostering. And more, we are the architect of our own economic freedom. And while mentoring and after listening to the stories of single moms day after day, I realized that the societal narrative does not match the reality on the ground. To truly dismantle the stigma, though, we have to look beyond the stereotypes and focus on the data. So today I want to address one country, the United States, where we can get an idea of the single mom household, the single mom journey, and the single mom perception. So let's start with this statistical truth about solo moms in America today. Who she is, what she's overcoming, and the economic powerhouse that she's actively becoming, and why redefining the solo mom will have a far-reaching impact on future generations. So first I want to look at the demographic reality, because we're a nation of solo leaders. And to understand the scale of this demographic, we have to look at the numbers. Across the United States, we currently have approximately 15 million solo mother households. To put that into perspective, solo moms head up roughly 80% of the single parent households in this nation. So we're not an isolated niche demographic. We form a massive foundational pillar of the American family structure. When we look at geographical breakdown across key states, the concentration of these households is staggering. For example, in Texas, there is 1.5 million mother-led households. In California, there's 1,100,000. In Florida, it's 675,000 households. In New York, 386,000. That one surprised me, because the perception is that in these large cities, that most of the moms there are single and wealthier queens and all of that. This busts that myth, right? And in Georgia, 360,000 households. That really surprised me in comparison to New York State, 386,000. But looking beyond just the larger population, the landscape of solo motherhood shifts dramatically depending on where you live, revealing widely different economic realities. Washington, D.C. is considered a high-density area for single moms. They head roughly 39% to 40% of all families. Despite higher median income of $55,000, they face a cost of living that is over 17% above national average, putting immense pressure on single income homes. The highest state concentration of single moms is Mississippi. It represents the most challenging economic landscape, where nearly 50% of children are raised by single parents. The poverty rate for solo families here has reached an alarming 47.6%, double that of other families with school-age children. The lowest concentration of single moms, though, is in Utah. This is a sharp contrast, but in places like Salt Lake City, solo mothers boast one of the highest home ownership rates in the country at nearly 46%. Even though a third of them still navigate life below the poverty line. So here are approximately 14.5 to 15 million children under the age of 18 being raised, guided, and influenced primarily by solo mothers. The vast majority of these women, over 85%, are managing households with one or two children, juggling the huge responsibilities of both primary breadwinner and primary caregiver. This responsibility reduces the opportunity for solo mothers to pursue personal development or career advancement. Still, many of us are pushing through difficulties and pursuing higher education and starting our own business. So these 15 million children are watching their mothers navigate the world. They are watching us work, study, and build. So how did we get here? How did we manage to find ourselves classified as single moms, solo moms, etc.? When you look at the data, it shows that 28% of us are divorced, 16% are separated, and 5% are widowed, raising your children solo. That's a total of 49%. Almost half of moms raising children solo were once married, but 51% were never married. Yet this 51% also represents moms, especially professional moms who adopt independently or utilize donors to start their family, or they're fostering other people's children. There are many of those who run away from toxic or abusive relationships. So technically they're still married, but they're not living in the same household as their abuser. So there is no single type of solo mom. We arrive at this destination through countless different pathways, and we are united by the shared responsibility of leading our families forward with or without proper designation. The working solo mom, we are defying the dependency stereotype. The most insidious myth is that solo mothers are largely lazy, and unemployed are reliant on the system. The American Community Survey and labor data completely shatter this assumption. Between 75% and 80% of solo mothers are actively employed or in the labor force. Even in states like Mississippi, which has the highest solo mom poverty rate in the country, these women demonstrate incredible work ethic, maintaining a labor force participation rate of 75%. Many solo moms work full-time job. Some hold a second job or a side hustle to make up for the salary inequity they experience. They are not sitting on the sidelines. They are not sitting on their butts, basically. We're actively driving the community while simultaneously managing the lost logistics, emotional labor, and day-to-day caregiving of our children without the built-in safety net of a second adult in the home. Furthermore, solo moms show an extraordinary, relentless drive to advance our family's economic standing through education. For example, there are currently over 2 million solo mothers enrolled in undergraduate programs across the country, making up roughly 11% of the undergraduate students. Roughly 24% of solo moms hold a bachelor's degree or higher, and another 26% have completed some college or hold an associate degree. While there's still an educational attainment gap compared to the national average for all women, where 40% hold a four-year degree, the 24% completion rate for solo mom represented an unbelievable level of determination. Earning a degree while functioning as the sole provider and caregiver is a monumental feat. For example, while raising two preteen boys, I attended undergraduate classes, worked as an independent real estate agent, and held a part-time job at UPS just to ensure my family's financial stability. But here's a situation that completely demolishes this stereotype. My sons were too old for daycare, but not legally old enough to stay home by themselves. I constantly live in fear because of my neighbors threatening to call child services on me because none of them were 14. At the time, the age at which they could stay home alone in Georgia. After all, I had to leave them alone while I worked my part-time job after school hours. This is a real struggle of single motherhood that nobody seems to want to recognize. But the payoff for perseverance is real. Solo mothers who hold a bachelor's degree see their poverty rate plummet to just 13%. I'd like to just stop and say that I have all this in a blog post with charts and graphs and infographics. And feel free to, I'll leave a link to the blog post down below. And you can download some of these infographics. If you see something you want, just send me an email and I'll email it to you. So let's move on to the price of this myth, the systematic penalties we face. So let me ask you this question. If solo moms are working this hard, pursuing education and leading our families, why is the financial struggle so common? Why is everybody having financial problems? Or why is it that the perception is that we're all poor? The answer lies in the very stereotype we're trying to dismantle. When society operates in the myth that a mother-led household is a liability, it creates systemic financial penalties that actively work against us. The stigma itself has a literal price tag. Solo moms are frequently taxed by an economic system that was not built for us. First, we have the motherhood penalty. In the corporate world, men get a fatherhood bonus, which is a perceived increase in stability that often results in a 6% wage increase per child. Women, though, face a motherhood penalty. For solo mom, this bias is compounded. On average, unmarried mothers earn roughly 54 to 58 cents for every dollar earned by married fathers. over a 40-year career, this bias-driven wage gap cost the average solo mom $400,000 to $500,000 in lost lifetime earnings. Can you imagine? Then we have the hiring bias. There are several landmark resume audit studies that have shown that when a resume includes subtle cues of motherhood, like PTA involvement, the applicant is 79% less likely to be hired than a non-mother with the same qualifications. In addition, when solo moms are offered positions, the starting salary offers a systematically, not just one-off, but it is like a standard to offer lower salary to a single mom, penalizing us by thousands of dollars right out of the gate. Yeah? The credit and wealth building gap is the third thing. The third motherhood penalty. The financial industry frequently views female-led single-income households as inherently high risk. Even when the incomes are identical and the credit history are the same, solo women are more frequently subjected to subprime lending rates. We often pay 1.5% to 2% more in interest for mortgages and personal loans, resulting in tens of thousands of dollars in arbitrary, unnecessary interest over our lifetime. Well, so what are we going to do about it? What will we do about it? And this is the next step: building our own tables. We are no longer waiting for people to invite us to their table, or we are no longer watching other people eat at their table while we do without. And this is called the entrepreneurial pivot. Faced with a corporate structure that penalizes flexibility and a financial system that doubts our stability, solo moms are not giving up. We are not giving up. We don't know how to give up. Instead, we are engineering our own economic independence. After divorce, the need to be present for our children while still keeping a roof over our head becomes the ultimate goal. When traditional employment demands 50 hours and sometimes more a week and offers zero grace for a sick child, many solo moms make a radical pivot. We build our own tables. Get this. Solo moms currently run roughly 1 in 3 women-owned microbusinesses in the U.S. According to Venture Forward Research, over half of these single mom entrepreneurs launched their businesses within the last 3 years, and they are highly ambitious. 69% of solo entrepreneurs aspire to scale their microbusiness into mid-sized corporate entities, and 88% report a fiercely positive outlook for their business futures. And I'd like to pause to say that she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. That's Proverbs 31, 16 to 17. Why have solo moms been so successful at starting their own business? The digital economy advantage. To manage the delicate balance of generating income while remaining a present caregiver, solo moms are heavily driving the digital creator economy. Brick and mortar stores require massive upfront capital and rigid operating hours, but the digital landscape offers a different path. Solo moms like mother of two, Dana Malstoff, who built a 50,000 plus online Facebook group serving women seeking to build their own businesses while raising their children, or Amanda Karuska, who, while struggling to maintain stability for her children, and overcoming deep trauma. She witnessed her family member getting killed. During all this time of being a divorced mom, she obtained 2 law degrees, wrote her memoir while still advocating for restorative justice for victims of various crimes. These 2 women have been guests on Solo Moms Talk podcast. Many more single moms are leveraging their lived experience, professional expertise, and unparalleled time management skill to build robust online brands. They're writing books just like mother of 5, Kimberly Bell, and teacher and author, Yvette Davis. They are launching podcasts, consulting and coaching, establishing e-commerce storefront, building resource toolkits, digital downloads, and membership vaults. This digital, you can't make this up, right? The digital first approach allows solo moms to generate wealth entirely on their own terms, completely bypassing the corporate biases that previously held us back. And what is the ripple effect of all this online mom power? When you invest in a solo mom, the return on investment for the surrounding community is exponential. Data shows that women reinvest up to 90% of their income directly back into their families and local communities, compared to 35 to 40% of men. When a solo mom makes a dollar through her digital storefront or consulting business, that money goes directly into local grocery stores, community programs, yes, the beauty salons, and pediatric healthcare. Furthermore, women-led enterprises are significantly more likely to hire locally and employ other women. Actively helping to bridge the gender employment gap and providing flexible opportunities for other mothers in our network. So let's not get it twisted. Solo moms are not a drain on the system. We are the ultimate wealth creators, quietly subsidizing the health and economic stability of our entire neighborhoods. Furthermore, we influence and control the lives of tens of millions of children poised to be the next generation of adults. Think about that. So, what does all this mean? It means we are determined not to let others define us. We are determined to live as daughters of grace, and we are redefining our future by the grace of God. But the statistics are clear. The solo mom is an economic powerhouse. She's a dedicated student, a relentless worker, a resilient business owner, and a profoundly influential leader to the next generation. We often correctly apply the Proverbs 31 woman as married with children. But the essence of this passage is evidenced in the way the modern solo mother perseveres in the face of unwarranted opposition. Surely God sees her, right? It is time to permanently demolish the outdated myth of the struggling, dependent, and irresponsible single mother. And yeah, there may be some. We are solo moms. We are writing our own narratives, launching our own businesses, and creating communities that uplift one another while still lifting up those who need a guiding light. Like the Marines, we left no woman behind. The journey isn't easy, and the systemic hurdles are real. But if there's one thing the data proves, what we already know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is this. A solo mom will always find a way to build a beautiful, sustainable life for her children. So if you're a solo mom listening today, know that you are not a statistic of struggle. You are divinely endowed with incredible power to navigate the challenge of parenting solo. Keep building, keep leading, and keep taking up space.
And remember, God sees you. So here's a question to mull over as I wrap up. We just discussed that over 15 million children are watching their mothers build businesses out of thin air, navigate a sometimes chaotic world while coping with their own pain and overcoming massive systemic penalties. What happens in 10 or 15 years when these 15 million or so kids who are being raised by the ultimate architects of economic freedom become a generation of corporate leaders, bankers, and policymakers? What happens? Will the very system that penalized their mothers survive the arrival of the generation they raised? Let that sink in for a bit. Thank you for listening.